Copples Western Cape Radio, CWCP. Welcoming all listeners to CWCP Worcester Report, the new name for our Thursday programme. My name's Tony Carpel. We were in Hillsong Church in Somerset West 2 weeks ago and interviewed one of their charming staff. This you'll hear later, as well as our regular features from Laurie Ann, song selection and ways to grow in God. I'm always interested in asking other missionaries why they do it, not least because it may give you an idea why we do it. So first in today's show, you'll meet Christy Stott from Gloucester, England, nickname Cree. By the way, South Africans love nicknames. And Cree helps out at the Vink Riviere Kids Club run by the Iris Western Cape Robertson Base, where at least one of us goes each Wednesday. I'm at the Kids Club for the Father's House School here in Robertson, Western Cape, South Africa. And I've collared one of the students at this school. And her name is Christy Stott, but she goes by Cree,
yeah,
which is a name I can easily remember because it's an Indian tribe in, in North America.
Which I didn't know until last week.
I want to ask you, Cree, the school's been going about 2 weeks now?
Yes.
Before you came, tell me why you came, what you were hoping for.
I came basically because two of my friends did it and really liked it, and it all just started happening. I thought maybe I'd apply. I was just really hungry for more of God, and then maybe I'd apply, and it just all happened very fast. And then the day before I came, I realised I was coming and didn't really realise how it all happened, to be honest with you. And I was hoping for just more of God, just to get closer to him and to find out what he wants me to do with my life, because I don't really know. And I love the community and make really good friends and just, yeah, know Jesus.
But was there a particular reason that you chose this Iris school?
Yes, because one, the dates are really good. And two, South Africa, when I was 9, I came here and had an encounter with a homeless person in Cape Town. And I was just like crying and I didn't know why. And it was when God first broke my heart for poverty. And South Africa just seemed, it's a dream to come back. And it was in Cape Town and it just was perfect, yeah.
So that was your expectation. How's it working out so far? How are you finding the school?
It's great. It's really good. I have loved the community and just living with these amazing girls. Like, they all just genuinely love God and they all encourage, we all encourage each other, and it's really fun. We're really silly. But it's also really deep and we have just these amazing conversations. And Johan and Marie have become like my mum and dad. I just hug them constantly. And I'm just already, because it's like hours of quiet time with Jesus, just learn so much about him that I wouldn't have if I didn't come. And even being with the kids and going to the hospital and stuff, he's just revealing all this stuff about me and about him and people that I just didn't know. So it's going so well.
But you've been on mission work before.
I have, yeah.
I think you've been in China.
I have, yeah.
Tell us about that.
Yeah, well, I was there for 3 months, and it was with St. Stephen's, well, loosely connected to St. Stephen's. And it was with a couple who are local missionaries from my church who have been there for 30 years. And it is basically family homes for girls and boys where people come in who are addicted to heroin and come off drugs just by the Holy Spirit. We're not really, I don't know how to get anyone off of drugs apart from that. You know, we go back into their childhood where the addiction started and try and trace the root of it all and where Jesus was in that. And I was like a youth worker, so I looked after two young boys. One had been on heroin when he was 12 and for 2 years. And that when I came, he'd only been off heroin for a few months, and just loved them. And just, I don't really know, just Holy Spirit did it all, really. I was just there.
Yeah. Was that the first long-term mission you'd done? 3 months?
Yeah, there? Yeah, the longest one I've done, yeah.
So looking towards the future, do you have a plan for the future?
Well, I mean, I thought I did, but since coming here, things just kind of get jumbled. Well, I'm going to university in September in England to study a degree that should help me fix some of the broken laws and policies of the world. But I just want to be his hands and feet, to be honest. I don't really care what that looks like. I definitely have a heart for human trafficking and women. I think being the only girl and with loads of brothers. But I just don't really care. I just want to follow him, you know, whatever that looks like, and just show other people what it can be like and get them out of what the enemy's trying to do, you know.
Now, this afternoon, you're down here at this kids' club.
I am, yeah.
Tell our listeners a little bit about this, because yeah. I think this is the second time you've been down here, right?
Yeah. Well, it's the second time, so I don't fully know. But as far as I know, kids, children and teenagers from the local farms come and we just play games and love on them and try and have fun. And then we sing songs. You lead some songs. And then we read a Bible story. But I think it's more than that. It's more than just kind of like a youth group. It's, I don't know, I don't think these kids have very loving places to go back to. So it's a place for them to realise what life could be, seeing us. Well, that's my hope. And just for them to feel loved and for them to realise that they're so much more than the abuse or the things that these people say to them. Yeah.
Cree, thank you very, very much indeed.
You're welcome.
You said it far better than I could have done.
I don't know about that.
And I know that you're going to be a blessing to thousands of people in your life. Just keep on this path. Mm. You're going to be fine. And you're going to have a lot of fun.
Mm. Of course. I wouldn't do it otherwise.
Thank you.
Tony and I are Canadian missionaries in South Africa. We have learned through our African friends in different countries how to slow down and be relational. This is something all of us in fast-paced countries need to learn. So come along with me, and we'll learn together on the adventures of growing in God.
Growing through relationships, growing in God through networking. My name is Lorianne, and I'm a missionary. During my mission travels, I've ministered with people in Northern Ireland, Pakistan, Canada, and the USA. I've also ministered in African countries like Kenya, Ghana, Sierra Leone, Mozambique, South Africa, and Botswana. But at this time, we live in the beautiful Western Cape of South Africa. I've been thinking a lot about the people that God places in our lives. During the last broadcast, we discovered growing through godly friendships and about mentoring. Let's take that further into networking. I was involved professionally in commercial radio and as a volunteer in community radio for a number of years. Radio is an industry where you advance through hard work, talent, and networking. Although it's known as a cutthroat industry, since its profit margin isn't very big, it's important to keep connections and to help each other out. You never know who will be your next boss or what a connection may actually lead towards. This is the same in many businesses, and in a gentler way, it is also a component in the missionary world. Tony and I are now in Worcester, South Africa as Iris Ministries Canada missionaries. We have many ministry opportunities, but one of the things we do is internet radio. We love radio that much. So how do other radio people get established? And how do missionaries get established? Is it just the people we meet through friends at Friends of Friends? I believe the answer is yes and no. Some of you are just saying, just ask God. Yes, people of faith, this is a question we do need to ask. While we plan our steps, God redirects us the way that we really need to go. Listen to Proverbs 16, verse 9. In their hearts, humans plan their course, but the Lord establishes their steps. God often brings people into our lives so that we sharpen each other in faith. Proverbs 27, verse 17 says, as iron sharpens iron, so one person sharpens another. We grow through relationship if we allow others to love, encourage, and at times correct us. Yet in order for that to happen, you have to be connected with them and not alone. We are part of nets or networking, and also we need to mend the nets, networking of a different sort. Let's walk along further with this analogy. In July 2016, I heard Heidi Baker share many stories in the Iris Global Harvest School in Pemba, Mozambique. One of these stories was a dream or impression that Heidi was given. As a missionary, she often sees the hidden people that ordinary people may overlook. She's been given the eyes and heart to see them. And nets are a symbol of catching these people's hearts like fish in the seas. Too many people either fall through the cracks in daily society or they are overlooked, whether they be latchkey kids, widows, orphans, street people, the disabled, and others that you may not even realize. We need nets to catch them and to be in relationship with them. Heidi's dream focused on a net in the coming revival harvest. When she shared, she got really excited because there were many, many fish in her dream. She originally assumed that this net was of how Iris would impact the people in the present and future harvest. Then the scene in her dream widened and showed that the Iris net wasn't that big. It was actually quite small, despite all the work that Iris is doing throughout the world. There were many, many nets. These were thrown out by churches, ministries, and individuals. These nets were smaller than you would think. When I was hearing this, I got an impression that there were many empty spaces not yet covered by nets. I personally believe that we need more nets, but those nets need to be connected together so there aren't missing gaps. I've had an intermittent pastoral care sense since the 1990s. I often notice people who were about to fall through the cracks. I've seen this happen in nearly every place I've been. It's like people have to be intentional that they don't fall through the nets, which is what happens when they get isolated from others. It happens far more often than you think. I've seen this phenomenon in many places of the world, and I've even fallen through the safety nets myself, not in terms of my personal faith, but in terms of pastoral care and support. But that's where Jesus comes in to catch us when we fall through the net. Jesus is the ultimate networker. We too are called to connect nets and work together in unity. We may have different emphasis in our faith, but that doesn't matter. What matters is our love for Jesus and his love extended through us to love on the people. The fields are ready and waiting for us, but we must mobilize together. Pick up a net. John 4, verse 35 to 36 says, "You know the saying, 4 months between planting and harvest. But I say, wake up and look around. The fields are already ripe for harvest. The harvesters are paid good wages, and the fruit they harvest is people brought to eternal life. What joy awaits both the planter and the harvester alike? But we need more sowers and harvesters. We need more people working the nets." Luke 10, verse 2 says, "The harvest is plentiful, but the workers are few. Ask the Lord of the harvest, therefore, to send out workers into his harvest field." So yes, this teaching is about missions, but it's so much more. It's about strategy for where you need to be, and it's about unity. The networking principle works in every aspect of life. Work, especially in radio broadcasting, missions, ministry, sales, and basically everything that involves people. Networking involves connections and friendships that have existed in the past, as well as new relationships. These people may not initially know each other, but when a networker person comes along to connect these two people, good things can happen. My husband Tony recently shared with a ministry friend about a similar organization that was working in the same Worcester township. These groups were aware of each other, but what was new was the timing that the second ministry was open to just the right kind of help from the first ministry. Tony's natural sharing helped to bring about a connection that our friend had been praying about for years. This was a natural networking, but with a supernatural connection. Tony also helped connect others to get jobs at just the right time. Just think, how many of you dear people have been directed to get a job through a friend of a friend? I got a job in the financial sector that way. I worked for Canadian Bankers Association in their publications and magazine circulation. This job came to me through friends who were looking for a good admin temp. It happened at just the right time. My last paying job was as an admin and social media coordinator for Darren Canning, a Canadian prophet, author, and writer. This job came about through connections and Facebook. Before I had that job, I could not get paid employment for 3 years. So don't look down on the connections you have. People are like gold and precious jewels. no matter where they are in the world. This means that the jewels are both the people holding the nets and those who are in the nets for a time. These jewels are grafted in the body of Christ, and after being healed up and discipled, they can also man the nets. In some cases, some can even take up nets right away. Consider the circle of influence you have. It may be your school, work, friendships, and family. It may be a book club or those you meet in business. Ask God for ways to reach them that aren't religious. Networking and love are all about relationship. Our God is a relational God and wants relationship with you and also with these people. Just think, you may be the one to connect people to each other just like Tony does. Or you may be the one that connects your friend to Jesus. Trust God and He will show you how. But if you go beyond your circle of friends, make sure that you do not go out alone. Go with a like-minded person who also has a heart for people. Together, ask God to connect the dots and connect the nets. This isn't about you. It's about working together. So we couples feel that one of our main tasks in Worcester is to tie the nets together. These are both the nets of ministries and individuals. I discovered recently that Soraya, a YWAM friend who has been on the show, has the same heart as me. She also gives her time and considerable talent to three ministries that we are also involved in, some connected with YWAM, others independent. I felt like she is a family member since we have the same heart that reaches out. So what nets do we tie together? All the ones that we can find. They are all connected to Jesus anyway. It's just a matter that they know each other and love on each other. We don't mind where the nets are coming from, what denomination or background. We are working to repair breaches, and we want to sew the nets together to reach Worcester as one. We aren't copying what each other is doing. We are learning from them and working alongside them. Eventually, we'll find our own unique ministry in the unreached areas between the nets. But for now, we work together. Recently, I went to bed thinking about Heidi's dream of the nets. I thought about John 21, verses 1 to 10. This is where Jesus directed the disciples to cast their nets on the other side of the boat after a fruitless overnight fishing session. It's likely that they had an overlooked spot that was hidden in plain sight, just like many of the township or street people are. I woke up with an impression that I could almost draw. As we cast the nets in the forgotten spots that Jesus shows us, we reel in hearts. We notice them. We validate them, and Jesus loves on them both directly and through our own hands and hearts. Our hands and hearts are part of the nets. Let me share about Jesus and the nets from John chapter 21, verses 1 to 10. Later, Jesus appeared again to the disciples beside the Sea of Galilee. This is how it happened. Several of the disciples were there: Simon Peter, Thomas, nicknamed the Twin, Nathanael from Cana in Galilee, the sons of Zebedee, and two other disciples. Simon Peter said, "I'm going fishing." "We'll come too," they all said. So they all went out into the boat, and they caught nothing all night. At dawn, Jesus was standing on the beach, but the disciples couldn't see who he was. He called out, "Fellows, have you caught any fish?" "No," they replied. Then he said, "Throw your net on the right-hand side of the boat, and you'll get some." So they did, and they couldn't haul in the net because there were so many fish in it. Then the disciple Jesus loved said to Peter, "It's the Lord." When Simon Peter heard it was the Lord, he put on his tunic, for he had stripped for work, jumped into the water, and headed to shore. The others stayed with the boat and pulled the loaded net to shore, for they were only about 100 yards from the shore. When they got there, they found breakfast waiting for them, fish cooking over a charcoal fire and some bread. "Bring some of the fish you've caught," Jesus said. So Simon Peter went aboard and dragged the net to the shore. There were 153 large fish, and yet the net hadn't torn. Isn't it amazing that the nets didn't tear? I love that this is a supernatural God thing. So as you think of this teaching, prayerfully consider that God may put you in just the right place and time to network. We call those divine appointments, or stopping for the one. This isn't just about evangelism, even though that is a component. It's about relationship and connecting hearts, people to people and people to the Father. May we always remember that we don't grow in isolation. We grow and are validated in community. We grow in interdependence, not independence. One more story, this time by taking the analogy of all those in church holding a corner of the net so they can man a station. Imagine if someone manning a net goes missing or just doesn't feel like being an important part of the network. Many fish will be lost because there will be a gap in the network. Take this net idea further into a battleship scenario. Every person on a battleship has a task, and that team runs efficiently together. Eventually, they become seamless in battle. With everyone working together, the ship is completely protected in difficult water or even worse, in battle. One person can spot an attack from one end and another can help steer the boat. Others will strengthen the boat and keep the engine going. One will check the radar, another will be on the radio. Why am I mentioning this analogy? It's because of something our Afrikaans pastor Johan told us. He said, "The church is not a pleasure yacht. It's a battleship. Everyone has a task." So not only do we grow in interdependence, there are times that this is a life-saving matter. And so also when we network and throw the nets on the other side, we need to remember how important this task is. Lord Jesus, I thank you for my friends who are listening. You have them on a journey, whether in a small ministry or big one. They are in many churches that love you, and if some of them aren't there yet, draw them to the right church for them. Thank you for all those who are using nets and networking in their lives and ministry. Help all of us to work together and not alone. Bring harmony to our task and our lives. Thank you that you are the one who brings divine appointments. Thank you that you position us where we need to be. Help us to stay in place at just the right time to stop for the one, no matter who it might be. And so I ask, Lord, that you give each of us a sense of where we are to be to man the nets. Bring us all together, holding hands, looking to you. We are family in Jesus' name. Be blessed, my friends, and tune in again for Ways to Grow in God on Copples Western Cape Radio.
felt his presence, I shall remember and forever cherish. And each rare moment I felt his presence, I shall remember and forever cherish.
Just rolled away the stone that held my heart. And now I see that the answer was as easy as just asking you in. And I am so sure I could never doubt your gentle touch again. It's like the power of the wind. Like waking up from the longest dream.
And Lauriane played us two songs relevant to her ways to growing God. The first was by Steve Bell from the Symphony Sessions, Deep Calls to Deep. And the second, very special song for us, it's by Keith Green, Your Love Broke Through. Back in 1998, she had lent me, I'd only just met her, and she lent me her cassettes of Keith Green's songs. I'd never heard of him before that. And I was totally sold on Keith Green and remained so ever since. And I was listening to that song that you've just heard shortly after she'd come to visit me for the first time, and I realized that I'd fallen in love with her. And I picked up the phone and called her. And we got married a year after that. So we love that song and many other Keith Green songs. And now CWCP brings you the chat that I had with Fatty Thobigen at Hillsong Somerset West a couple of weeks ago. She happened to be passing and I asked her if she'd like a cup of coffee and she said yes. And I said, well, I'll get you a cup of coffee if you'll give me an interview. And here's the result. We're at Hillsong in Somerset West, where we like to come about once a month. I want to introduce you to one of the volunteers here, Fatty. Hello, Fatty.
Hello, Tony. Lovely speaking to you this beautiful afternoon.
Now, we've just come out of a wonderful service.
Yes.
Did you have any particular functions in that service?
Yes. So I functioned to get together our team of volunteers to make sure that even before the service starts, we're welcoming people, we're making everyone feel at home, the chairs are packed out, and yeah, just loving people, just letting love happen for Jesus.
Yes. Well, there's a wonderful atmosphere when we come in here. It's kind of like it's exciting, and
yes,
it's you just want to be part of it. I think that's probably something to do with what you're doing.
I think, and you can ask any volunteer, I think they'll tell you the same thing. I believe it starts with each and every person in your week, in your daily walk with God, just to immerse yourself in that place, in that presence. So when you come here, you're just ready to pour out of overflow. So the atmosphere, what you're feeling, what you're sensing, I believe is all overflow from everyone's personal walk with God, just immersing themselves, allowing ourselves to be filled, so that we come in here and we're on the lookout, like, God, where can I pour out? Like, who can I love, Lord? Like, here I am, have your way. So it's just a privilege and an honor every Sunday to come here and just see what God will do. You never know what he'll do, but just being available, being filled, being full, and just ready to pour out.
Now, there are quite a few Hillsong churches within, say, 50 kilometers of where we are.
Yes.
And also up in Johannesburg.
Yes.
And today we were linked with all of them.
Yes.
Tell us a little bit about, tell our listeners about that.
So that is just the beauty and the blessing that is technology. That we always say in the Hillsong family that we are one house with many rooms. So the linking allows the many rooms to just be together and listen to the word together at the same time. So our lead pastors or whoever is sharing, we get to sit under the same word no matter where you are in the country. So that's just beautiful, knowing that at that moment when you're sitting, someone in Pretoria or Joburg is sitting down listening to the same or receiving the same food that you're receiving at that time. So that is just amazing. So yeah, thank God for technology.
I love it. I know this may sound strange, but I think I prefer the linked ones to the individual ones. But is that bad to say?
You know what? Either way, it's the word of God. Either being brought in person or through a link, either way, God will have a word to say to you if you open your heart to it. So it's a blessing either way.
Now, the first thing you notice when you come in here is this, the music. It's so uplifting and
yes,
powerful.
Yes.
Do you enjoy that part as well?
I love the music. I love the music. I believe, you know, it just ministers to you even before you receive the word. And we all know about Hillsong songs. But yeah, the music, it's alive and just upbeat and just, yeah, it gets you ready. It gets you, if you come here and your head is down, just listening to the music in the foyers, the laughter, I believe the laughter is also part of the music. Just the smiles, the hugs, it's all part of the atmosphere. So it's beautiful. I love it.
Are you seeing quite a lot of new people coming into this church
yes,
week by week?
Yes, week by week we're getting more and more new people. Either they heard it, you know, word of mouth, or either they heard the music that you just asked about when they passed by. But every week I'm meeting new faces, new people coming into church. I believe there's just this hunger that's going around, this hunger and thirst for the word of God. And people, I believe, maybe not just into Hillsong, but I believe people are just flocking into churches. And we as volunteers, no matter which church that you are, we need to be in position and with our hearts open just to be used, whatever God would have us do, because people are hungry and people are thirsty. So, yeah, there's people flooding into the churches, I believe, and
you know,
thank you, Jesus, for
that. I think we need Hillsong in Canada.
I believe so,
it's
too.
It's not there yet.
I believe so, too. That is a prophecy, so yes, Lord. Amen.
I won't say that the only reason we came here was to go to Hillsong, but right from the start, when we arrived in Cape Town, we just decided we would come to Hillsong every month.
Wow.
And we've thoroughly enjoyed it. And we really like the quality of the leadership and the way in which your pastors just get everything sounding just what people need.
Yes. What I can tell you is we have the most incredible leaders. And what you see, they are as loving as you see them on stage as you, when you speak to them in person. They are real people, and it's real. And even with everyone around, if you hang around long enough, you'll soon realize that the smiles, the hugs, the words, they're all real. They're all real.
Now, I'm going to put you on the spot. If we had Jesus sitting right here on this table with us and you had a chance to ask him a question, what would you ask him?
Oh, Lord. You know what? I don't want to sound, but I believe that if Jesus just came next to me, I wouldn't even have to ask questions. In the presence, who asks questions? I'll just be in awe and just go, holy, 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 Lord God Almighty. That's what the angels do all day long when they see his face. So I honestly, truly believe that if he were to come here, whatever questions, which I can't think of one now, like I think I'll just be in awe. I think we all of us have like, oh, I'm going to ask him this, but I believe when he comes, all things just grow strangely dim and we're just in awe. And yeah, I pray that I'll worship in that moment. I actually pray that I won't have like a million, one, two, three, four. I pray that I'll be in a position to worship.
And let's ask you one last question.
Yes.
What is on your heart as your vision of, say, the next 5 years in your life, Fatty?
Just more of, like, my heart is, Holy Spirit, here I am. I want to see you move in a way that I've never seen you move before. Like, those things that no eye has seen, no ear has heard, and no mind has conceived. I want to see the Holy Spirit move like the raw power of God. I want to see miracles, like those things in the Bible. I want to see people healed. I want to see not just empty words. I want to see people coming to the Lord and that tangible, like the Lord just revealing himself in a way that we've never seen before. And I believe that with all my heart, that is where we're going. I believe there's just something stirring, that something is happening. And for whosoever believes and is willing to go deeper, that God is doing something new. And I'm believing with all my heart, God is going to blow our minds. God is going to blow our minds. I believe that with all my heart.
Fatty, thank you so much for being friends to us when we've been here.
Yes.
It's been a joy.
Yes.
And we're going to put you on the radio.
Thank you.
CWCP, Koppel's Western Cape Radio. I'm L.A. Koppel for your musical segment of tonight's show. Since we're off on Saturday to pray for rain and revival in Cape Town, we'll start off with a rain song. Angus Buchan will hold two prayer meetings in Mitchell's Plain. The farmers will meet at 7 and the rest of us at 11. We'll start off with Ian and Sylvia, Early Morning Rain, on Koppel's Western Cape Radio.
In the early morning rain, with a dollar in my hand, in the early morning rain. With no place to go, out on runway number 9, 8707 set to go. But I'm stuck here on the grass, where the cold winds blow, where the liquor tasted good, and the women all were fast. There she goes, my friend. Oh, she's rolling now at last. Hear the mighty engine roar.
It's time for the train. Climb aboard on CWCP Couples Western Cape Radio.
Well, look yonder coming, coming on down the track. Well, look yonder coming. The Orange Blossom Special, bringing my baby back. We'll talk about a rambling, she's the fastest train on the line. We'll talk about her traveling, she's the fastest train on the line. She's the Orange Blossom Special, rolling down the seaboard line. Thank you.
down to Florida and get some sand in my shoes. Or maybe California and get some sand in my shoes. I'll ride the Orange Blossom Special and lose these New York blues.
Radio. I'm L.A. Koppel. We just heard today's train song. This is one of the many versions of Orange Blossom Special, the train that travels to Florida. My mother even traveled on that train. This version is by the Rosinators, and we started the set with Ian and Sylvia's Early Morning Rain. When I think of that song, I imagine soft, misty rain rather than thunderstorm rain. But right now, we'll take both kinds of rain here in the Western Cape.
Koppel's Western Cape Radio, CWCP.
We'd like to encourage you to listen in to our Wednesday program, which starts an hour later than this show. We're rebroadcasting classic programs by Alan Churchill, who founded Good News in the Morning, broadcast weekly since 1999 on CFRA in Ottawa. Here's a short sample from yesterday's broadcast.
Welcome to Good News in the Morning, a program of words and music, bringing a Christian message of hope and encouragement to those who are looking for an intelligent, meaningful, and spirited approach to faith and to life.
On a winter's day early in 1674, a young servant girl, Agnes Beaumont, was waiting beside a road in Bedfordshire, England, for a friend to take her on horseback to a Christian service in Gamlingay. The friend never came, and the girl was greatly distressed. However, the preacher himself rode by and was persuaded by her brother to take Agnes with him. The good man agreed, and so she dried her tears, climbed up on the horse, and rode into Gamlingay behind none other than John Bunyan himself. Agnes Beaumont has supplied her own account of what happened at that service. "God made it a blessed meeting to my soul indeed. My soul was filled with consolation, and I sat under his shadow with great delight, and his fruit was pleasant to my taste when I was at the Lord's table. I found such a return of prayer that I was scarce able to bear up under it. I had such a sight of Jesus Christ, it broke my heart to pieces. A sense of my sins and of his dying love made me love him and long to be with him, and truly it was infinite condescension in him, and I have often thought of his grace and goodness to me, that Jesus Christ should so graciously visit my poor soul that day." Here in this simple story, drawn from Puritan history, is so clearly illustrated the fact and nature of Christian experience. The young girl tells us of an experience of love between her and Christ that was so intimate and real that she almost breaks down under it. She is both exalted and humbled by her encounter with the living God. And note that, despite the fact that John Bunyan himself was the preacher, it seems primarily to have been the celebration and participation in the Lord's Supper that triggered her experience. Note, too, that while her experience was one of ecstasy and joy, she was able to describe it in well-chosen language, and so give us 300 years later a fairly clear picture of what had happened to her. There was emotion in her experience, but there was also a rational and moral grasp of God's presence, power, and love.
Alan Churchill, an authoritative Christian teacher and speaker for our times. Check him out on CWCP Radio every Wednesday night, 9 p.m. in South Africa. Earlier in the show, you heard me talking to Fatty Thibajane from Hillsong, and she referred to the Hillsong concept as being one house with many rooms. Now, that's a phrase that immediately made me think of one of my favorite singers, Lila Bialy, Canadian jazz and pop singer, worship leader. And about 2 years ago, she brought out an album entitled House of Many Rooms. From that album, here is her song, Love. Been attending Pastor Foller's children's ministry in Avian Park about once a week for a while now, and I get great joy from being there with the kids. One of my favorite parts of the evening is when they sing songs to God, praise songs, and the children know all the words. Let me prove that to you. We're going to go out of today's program with half an hour of praise music from Pastor Foller's ministry. I promise, if you listen to this three or four times, you'll get hooked on them, just as I have. And I've got to the point where I'm using the app Shazam to identify the tune so that I can go and get the originals, and I'm being reasonably successful. Anyway, here we go. This show is more or less over now. Thank you for listening. But if you stay listening for another half hour, enjoy not just the music, but enjoy the sincere enthusiasm of these children from ages about 2.5 up to 15 as they sing songs to God with joy in their hearts.
Thank you. Yeah. Jesus, my God, Thank you. Jesus.
Thank you, Jesus.
Thank you for Fanda.
Thank you for Fanda.
Os Lord Fanda Fanda.
Os Lord Fanda Fanda.
Os Christ Fanda Fanda.
Os Christ Fanda Fanda.
Hold my own, dear Jesus.
Hold my own, dear Jesus.
Lay my own, dear Jesus.
Lay my own, dear Jesus.
Hallelujah.
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 Must live for you.
Must live for you.
Must live for you.
Must live for you.
In Jesus' name.
In Jesus' name.
Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. All right, sit down, everybody. Sit down where you can preach.